All right, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we finished our Proverbs series. This is going to be a standalone sermon, just one sermon next week. We're going to start something on Easter. It's going to be really good. But today, this is a standalone sermon. When I was in elementary school, I started making bow and arrows with my brother and my buddies, like homemade bow and arrows. Anyone in here ever done that? Yeah, oh yeah, all right. So I see a bunch of guys, a few girls too. All right, so what we would do is we'd take some of these sticks, any stick that bent a little bit, right? And we'd tie some string to it. We found out what worked best was industrial strength rubber bands. And so we'd hook these suckers up, and then we'd find some tree limbs that were like newly grown, so they were still flexible, and we'd cut them off, make sure they're about that big around. We'd soak them in water overnight, then we'd put them in a table vise grip so they'd be held perfectly straight until they were dry. These suckers were straight as an arrow. And then we'd knock out the back so you can put in the rubber band. We'd drill open the front and put in some really sharp nails, sometimes two or three nails in there, like really sharp ones. These things would fly, I'm telling you. You shoot this, it'd be like, boom! They would stick in trees. I mean, they were dangerous. It was awesome. And so one time we're shooting in my backyard. I'm all the way at one end, and my parents, they had a really long backyard, really long. And so we'd start pulling these suckers back. We would shoot them. They would go flying all the way across the yard, past my bird feeder, past the bird bath, past the sidewalk, across the road, over the sidewalk on the other side, and they'd land. And so we'd all shot our arrows, except for a few of them. And I walked over there. I was like, I'll get the volley. I went over there to the other side of the road. I was leaning down to pick up our arrows. And then all of a sudden, I heard my brother and my friends yelling, "Jeff, Jeff, 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 Jeff!" And I look up, and just as I stand up to see what they're yelling about, an arrow goes, boom, right in front of me. I was like, "Gah, what the heck, man? Like, what would have happened if I had not stood up? I would have died. Or I would have lost a friend, because I would have killed him." Right, like, if I had not listened in action, that would have been bad news. Give me an eye if you agree with that, right? Let's go ahead and write this down. Here's our phrase for this morning. Inaction is an infraction. I know it's kind of cheesy. Just go with it. Inaction is an infraction. Inaction is when you don't do something that you should do. Infraction is, well, y'all know what an infraction is. You've been to jail. All right, so inaction is an infraction. Can we say this out loud together? Inaction is an infraction. A little louder, let's go. Inaction is an infraction. All right, so we want to remember this today. It's like a firefighter. When he comes, he gets a hose off the fire truck, he runs to the fire, and then he goes, "Where should I shoot? Where should I shoot the water? Over here? No, maybe I should shoot over here." And he never fires the hose. Now, I'm not a fireman. I'm thinking any water is better than no water when it comes to a fire. You agree with me on that one? Right? Inaction is an infraction. Even little things, like some of y'all didn't get the job because you didn't apply. You didn't get the girl because you didn't ask her out. You're hungry because you didn't make dinner. I know you've been there before, right? But listen, the worst place to be with inaction is when it comes to God. Because inaction with God, it can lead to depression. It can lead to financial problems. It can lead to death. It can even lead to hell. You don't want to miss this today, what we're talking about. You miss this, there will be massive consequences. But if you get this, your eternity will change. Maybe even some people around you will change. This is a huge deal today. If you grab your Bibles and open it up to Romans 10, you'll see why. The book of Romans was written by a guy named Paul, and you can just flip it open to page 918. All right, so the large 10 here is the chapter number. You follow that down, do you get to the little 9? That's the verse number. We're going to read verses 9 to 11 right now. Paul was called Apostle Paul, right? He was one of Jesus' closest followers. He did miracles. Obviously, he wrote parts of the Bible. So this is Paul writing, and it's written to Roman people. So these are not Jewish people. Paul was a Jew, writing about Jesus, who was a Jew, and he's writing it to Roman people, and he's telling them about Jesus. And he says in verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him, Jesus, will never be put to shame." Right? This is an awesome truth, a glorious truth that I love to hear. The reality is, there's a lot of people right now walking around and they're carrying chains because they got burdens. But I'm not talking about the burdens of like addiction or the burdens of failing. I'm talking about the burden of trying to be good enough. Like, there's people walking around right now thinking, man, I, you know, God's okay with me. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm not a bad person, right? I think God's going to be okay because I got a good heart. You ever heard anyone say something like that? Right? And they have the burden of their own salvation on their shoulders. And they're carrying around this idea that they got to be good enough to get into heaven. And they're hoping that they've done more good than bad. But let me tell you something. The Bible never says you get to heaven when you do more good than bad. It doesn't say that. What it doesn't say is that you got to know all the rules and do them. It doesn't say you got to do more good deeds than bad. No, what it says is this. Let's go ahead and write it down. We just read it. To be saved, I must believe in my heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Period. Fact, nobody can be saved by doing good things because we've also done bad things. You rob a bank and you go in front of a judge and you tell the judge, yes, I robbed the bank, but sir, I've done many good things as well. He's going to send your butt to jail. Do you agree with me? Right? You stand in front of an ever powerful, almighty God, the creator of heavens and earth, and say, yes, God, I'm a sinner, but I've also done some nice stuff. He will not be impressed. Because we've offended an eternally good God. And doing wrong in front of an eternally good God requires an eternal punishment. That's what we call hell. What this scripture tells us, it's not about doing stuff. It's about believing that what Jesus Christ did was good enough for us. That he forgave us for our sins. And I'm going to talk about how, but at the same time, it's not just believe. The Bible doesn't say just believe and nothing else. That's not what it says. Look at verses 9 to 11 again. It actually says, if you, and this is the first part, declare with your mouth what? Jesus is Lord. Will you say that with me? If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You talk about it. You confess Jesus is Lord. That's the other part of this. Inaction is an infraction. If you believe, but you don't say Jesus is Lord, that's not okay. I want you to imagine you're dating someone. Okay, guy, you got a nice girl. You're like, man, I asked her out. She's been going out with me for like 6-12 months now. I'm going to ask her to marry me. So you get a ring. Will you please marry me? And she's like, oh, yes, I love you. She hugs you. And immediately after you get engaged, she stands up and she goes to some party at some dude's house, doesn't invite you to go along. You're going to be like, what? Right, let's say you go to the party and you're watching her, and she's telling nobody that she's engaged. She's like, hey, everybody, oh, and like, anything new happened? She's like, no, I'm good. What do you mean you're good? Like, and then someone comes up to her, and she's like, hey, I heard you got engaged. And she's like, well, yeah, I'm just not like all up in your face about it. Chill. Would you be upset with her? You might actually rethink being engaged to her, wouldn't you? Why? Because it doesn't matter what we believe. If it doesn't come out our mouth, it's not real, right? If you believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord, then you are saved. So let's write this down. I must also confess that Jesus is Lord with my mouth. This is very important. Inaction is an infraction. If you believe that Jesus is real, but you refuse to take any actions on that, you got a problem. If you think that Jesus really did rise from the dead, if you think God exists, but you refuse to acknowledge him, then you've got an issue. Now, if you believe in Jesus and you confess it with your mouth, I think a lot of us here are willing to do that. I mean, I'm thinking we do okay. We sing about it. We shout about Jesus being Lord. We sing songs to Jesus. I mean, if you're willing to confess Jesus as Lord, just go ahead and say, oh, yeah. Right? Okay. And I'm looking around. You know, I need to get a Scott, will you come up here for a minute? Yeah? Okay. I just need to get a couple other people up here. I don't know who. John, will you come up here? Yeah? All right. Let's welcome them up here. Go ahead and clap with them. Come on up. Coming over here, John. Now, John wore a tie to church today. I don't know what he's doing. You're taller on stage. Yeah. All right. Okay, so I'm just looking at these guys here, and I'm looking at all you two. They're just representatives for you, and I'm just looking at you guys like, we are a ragtag group here. Like, if someone would have looked at you 5, 6, 7 years ago and said, oh, yeah, probably about 5, 6, 7 years from now, they're going to be on stage at church. Pastor's going to be talking about how good they're doing. What would have you agreed to them?
No.
No? Would you agree to them?
No.
All right. Your friends are like, heck no. Right? Like this, but God does crazy things. Agree with me? God does crazy things. Like he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for these guys and for you and for me. Actually, hey, Scott, will you take this black piece off here on the other side? There we go. All right. Now, I like popcorn. This next part is kind of like about popcorn. And if you know me well, I don't like microwave popcorn. I'm a real deal guy, but for the purposes of this, I got to use a microwave. All right. So now I like popcorn. Did you know that there's a water molecule inside a popcorn seed?
I did.
You did know that?
I did.
Nice. Okay. Did you know that it has to be 365 degrees to pop? I got like popcorn geniuses up here. We're going to hang out later. All right. So it's got to be 365 degrees. And here's the deal. Like if you pop popcorn and you're cooking it too hot, maybe you've had popcorn on the stove that you crank and you cook it too hot. It doesn't burn it to be too hot. It makes it chewy and soft because that water molecule on the inside of the popcorn actually boils the seed before it pops. Interesting, huh? But if you cook it too low of a temperature, it burns it because it has to cook for too long before that water molecule actually pops. Now, I love popcorn. Just the idea that God would make a vegetable or a starch that explodes and tastes better after it explodes, that's glorious, is it not? That's glorious. But I don't know why I'm talking about popcorn. I did it every service. All right, Romans 10, grab your Bible again. Here's how this relates. Verse 11 to 13 says this. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him, Jesus, will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Now remember, Paul was a Jew. And he's writing to us Gentiles. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. And he richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who will be called on the name? Or who will be saved? Everyone who what? Calls on the name of the Lord. It says everyone who calls. Will you say everyone with me? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When John calls on the name of the Lord, he's going to be saved. When you call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you know what? Let's go ahead and write this down. No matter who we were or who we are, the gospel is for us. God can save anyone. And I love that. I love that anyone can be saved. You and me and these guys up here. Even people with crazy problems can be saved. Amen?
Amen?
Look at verses 14 and 15. This is where it gets really crazy. How then can they, all of a sudden the words they, not you. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Okay, so what happened? Paul, who wrote this, he's just messing with us for a minute. He starts out, he's like, yo, Scott, man, if you believe in Jesus with your heart and you confess Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we're all like, yes. Then he goes, that's why you gotta tell people. And they're like, what? So it's kind of like he pulled something on us, right? So I want you to answer me. He's like, so anyone can be saved, right?
Yes.
That was good. All right. And all you got to do is believe in your heart, right?
Yes.
And confess Jesus as Lord, right?
Yes.
And that's why you got to tell them. Why aren't you doing nothing? Why aren't you told nobody? Right? Paul like switches it. Inaction is an infraction. He's saying, hey, you guys got to pay attention because you're thinking about Jesus and you're worshiping God and you're all like, oh, I'm a Christian. This is awesome. But there are people out there who have never heard the news about Jesus Christ. Y'all worried about something right now? Are you worried about this? No, don't worry about this. Inaction is an infraction, right? I want to teach you a lesson. I want to use every scent I can. Today, when I pull this bag out, I want you to take a nice big whiff. And I want you to remember that inaction is an infraction. And while I'm burning this popcorn, I want you to remember there are people who are on their way to be burnt right now. And if we do nothing about it, it's going to be bad news for them for a long time. Hey. Here, you get to hold this. What I want you to do is to drag it around. And make sure everybody gets a whiff of it. Just kind of bring it around the aisles. Thanks, John. You can sit down. All right, let's clap everybody. Thank them for helping out. He's going to bring that by. Make sure you get a good whiff of it. Remember that inaction is an infraction. When I don't take the popcorn out, it burns. When I don't tell someone the good news of Jesus Christ, that's my inaction, isn't it? That's your inaction. And it's got an awful smell to it. Let's go ahead and write this down. Our neighbors, friends, and family cannot know God unless we tell them. And I want you to put your name in there. Jeff must confess Jesus as Lord for their benefit. Scott, you can throw that out the back door. No, I don't want it. All right, put your name in there, right? Aaron must confess Jesus as Lord for their benefit. Tom must confess Jesus as Lord for their benefit, right? I put your name in there. My family likes to go to Table Rock Lake to go boating. And one year, like, my whole family came down, and they borrowed a boat from a guy. My Uncle Butch borrowed the boat, and normally on a boat, you have to put a plug in the bottom back of it. You're all, like, dying right now. I can't even tell the story. You're like, I'm listening, Pastor. So my Uncle Butch got this boat. He put a plug in the back of it, because you're supposed to do that. If you don't put the plug in, what will happen to the boat? It will sink. And so he put the plug in, and he asked the guy who owned the boat, he's like, hey, where's the bilge pump at? And the guy said, there is no bilge pump. Now, bilge pump is when the water splashes in the boat, goes underneath the floor, and it shoots the water out so the boat doesn't sink. Well, they were driving around for a while. My dad was in his boat. My Uncle Butch was in the borrowed boat. And then my dad gets a call. Get over here, the boat's sinking. So he drives over there, and there is just water in this boat. They're trying to, like, scoop it out with coolers and buckets. People, like, splashing water out, and this boat is sinking fast. So they find a boat lift, one of these electric things that goes up, and they try to dock the boat on top of this lift, and maybe they can lift the boat up out of the water. And so they turn the lift on, and dang, it's broken. And so they're trying to get the lift to get unstuck. People are jumping on the lift. Other people are trying to bail the water out and scoop it out. People are freaking out because they're about to lose a $40,000 boat. My Uncle Paul, he's a real quiet guy. He walked over like this. That button says bilge pump. He pushes the button, all of a sudden the water's like, and they're all like, oh, thank God, right? Now, why did my uncle not know it was there? It was right in front of his face the whole time. He was driving the boat, right on the dash. It says, bilge stinking pump. That's how they label it nowadays. It says it right there. Why didn't he see it? He didn't see it because nobody told him it was there. It can be right in front of your face. And for those of us who know Jesus, it seems like it's so obvious. You know, maybe you're here today, you're not a Christian yet, and that's why I want you to understand why we Christians are so passionate about this. Like for us who are Christians, it seems so obvious, right? He's answered my prayers. He's changed my life. I feel different. I see the evidence, the historical, the philosophical, the scientific evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like it's so obvious. But for people who don't know Jesus, they haven't been told, so they don't see it. Or when they were told by a bunch of judgmental, arrogant Christians who are more interested in politics than Jesus. And so they hear people talking about Jesus, and all they hear is vote Republican. And that's not okay. I mean, you can vote however you want. I'm not saying it's not okay to vote Republican. Okay, I'm going to shut up now. But you can vote however you want. But it's not okay to act like we're a political party, right? Our goal is to help people know Jesus because we want them to experience the God that we've experienced. Amen? Right? But how will they know if you don't tell them? Inaction is an infraction. When I was in high school, my friend Wilson was at a football game, just a bunch of guys playing football. And a guy drove by, took out a gun, just started. A couple people got shot and died. My friend Wilson was one of them. I was invited to go play football that night. I didn't go. If I told you that the reason I didn't go was because I knew someone was going to drive by and shoot people, and I didn't tell my friends about it, would you accept that as a good thing to do? No, you'd say, Jeff, that was screwed up, man. If you knew they were going to get shot, you should have done something. Well, you know what? Let's write this down. It is wrong to know Jesus is Lord and to take no action. And you know what? Forget the whole heaven or hell discussion for a minute. I mean, you could like go to work tomorrow and like look someone in the eye and be like, listen to me, you're going to hell. Come to my church. Yeah. That's one option. Or you could not be creepy, dude. Let's just not think about heaven and hell for a minute. Just think about what God has done for you. He's given you joy. He's given you peace. You've gone through stuff that you just, before you were a Christian, you just don't, you're not even sure you would have gotten through these things. But now that you're saved, you understand, I'm going to be okay, even in the midst of this craziness. You've had peace, you had worry and anxiety like crazy before you were a Christian. Now when worry or anxiety comes, you know who to give that to and how to deal with it. You got this family of believers here who loves you and forgives you no matter what you do. Jude 2, let's say it together if you know it. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance, right? And there's more. Like, I could tack on 1,000 things if I just went through everybody here. What has God done for you? At prayer meetings, we share, or at growth groups, we share about how God has answered our prayer. But if you don't know God, he's not going to answer your prayer. Listen, God has answered your prayers. And he is not answering the prayers of people you know because they don't know him. And you can tell them who he is. But if you don't know God, how can he take away your worry or your pride? How can he provide you with joy? Look, man. Yeah, heaven and hell are real. But it's more than that. It's that we've got some really good stuff. And if we don't tell them who Jesus is, inaction is an infraction. There's some really bad stuff that's going to go down, and we can get them out of that. And like some of the excuses are like, well, I don't know what to say. Okay, I don't know what to say. Well, don't be that firefighter who's got the hose going, I'm not sure where I should point this thing. I'm not really capable. No, look, actually, hey, Bethany, would you come up here for a minute? All right, Bethany, I want you to, are you okay if I like put my arms around you and I'm going to touch you for this illustration. Nothing inappropriate.
I guess I've had self-defense before, so.
I'm taking other volunteers. Okay. All right. Let's just pretend you're eating my popcorn. All right. You're going to pretend to eat my popcorn, and then you're going to start choking, okay? Okay. All right. Go ahead. Are you okay? What's wrong? Oh, you're choking. Oh, maybe I should call 911. You want me to call 911 or do you want me to Heimlich thing? Heimlich? Okay, maybe I should. Okay, I don't know. Are you comfortable with this? Okay, good. I made it through. Whew, okay. Look, the deal is like my uncomfortableness, my inability to make an action is what was killing her, right? I should have just made a choice. Call 911. Do the Heimlich. Do something. Some of us, we have an inability to tell people about Jesus or invite them to church because we are scared we're going to make the wrong choice, and it's killing people. I would like you to invite me to church. Okay, we're at work. I'm doing my job. You just go ahead and invite me to church.
So not to be creepy, huh?
Try not to be.
Okay. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm okay. My dog just died last night.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it was sad. I killed him.
You need sorry, Jesus.
Not creepy. No kidding.
Well, hey, I got some great friends at like church and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, and you can learn about God and stuff, and that could help you through any situation.
Yeah, all right. I'm not really about church, but I'm glad for you.
Oh, they don't judge or anything.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
You know.
Well, you know, I just
it's great.
I don't want to go. Mean, I don't want to go. All right, listen. Okay. We're afraid this is what's gonna happen, aren't we? Like, we're going to try to invite someone, and they're going to be just be, like, blowing us off or angry. And, like, we feel awkward as Bethany feels on stage in front of you, not knowing what to say, right? Like, we're like, well, I don't know what to say. Look, here's, I want to show you two things today. One of them is just why I carry these with me. So just invite me again, and just when I say no, you can just give me the card, right? Here's, okay, so I'm working.
Hey, I got a card. Yeah. No. Want my card? No.
I don't. What is it? Has it got your phone number on it?
No.
I'm telling Scott.
Hey, there's this great church in town, you know, mm-hmm. great service and stuff.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a requirement or anything. Just come as you are.
All right. Well, I'm not really about church. But all right.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. All right. Okay, now see what has happened here is she has invited me. I've got a card, and now I still have the opportunity, don't I? Right? This is really simple. You can invite me. I can say no. And what's really good about that, and you don't even have to use a card, but what's really good about this, she's invited me. Now I know there's someone who cares about me, who cares about my future, who cares that I hear about God. She wasn't mean about it or anything, except when she made fun of me for killing my dog.
It's okay. Dog tastes pretty good.
You were practicing your defense on your dog, weren't you? Okay, anyway, so like she's done a pretty good job. Let's go ahead and thank her for doing this. Bethany, thanks. I wanted to get her out of here before I get karate chopped in the face or something. All right, so it's really simple. But the deal is even when someone says no, we've given them the opportunity. And giving someone the opportunity is more important than how they respond to us. Do you understand that? Right? We just want them to know that we care about you and I just want to invite you. You know, Romans 10:15 says this. If you'd look back at your Bible. How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I want you to remember that part. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Years ago, I had a lot of chest pain. And my doctor sent me to get a bunch of x-rays and 3D x-rays and some other scans. I don't remember what they were. We were checking my heart out and a whole bunch of stuff. Well, I went and did some of these scans. I don't remember what the scan was, but I walked out and I'm a pretty extroverted guy. So like, I'm not afraid to talk to people. And I just said to the guy, like, hey, can I see those scans? He's like, it's our policy not to show people the scans until the doctor sees them. I was like, oh, it'll be all right. I just want to look. He's like, I don't know. And I was like, come on. It's a cool looking scan, right? It looks cool. He's like, yeah, it looks cool. I was like, come on, man. I want to see. He's like, all right, come on. And so he sits me down. He's at his computer and he's doing his job. He pulls up the screen. He goes, all right, so this is your lungs and like this is your backbone. He starts telling me everything. But pretty soon he like forgets that I'm there and he stops talking about you and he starts talking about the patient. He's like, so the patient, blah, 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 blah. And the patient, this and that. Same medical stuff, I don't understand. But then he says, and the white dot on this lung, it's probably precancerous, so the patient might have to, you know, they might have cancer, so we're going to. And I was like, stop. What did you just say? And he goes, oh, you should go to the waiting room. And I was like, oh. They're like, you got to ask your doctor. So my doctor's appointment wasn't for 3 weeks. It's like the longest 3 weeks of my life. I didn't even tell my wife. I'm just laying in bed. I'm like, I'm going to die. What's going on? So I go to the doctor. And he's looking at it. He's like, yeah, well, you don't have any heart problems. So, yeah, all that was probably anxiety. It'll probably be all right. I'm like, okay, doctor, I got a question. What about the cancer? He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, okay, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but that x-ray tech was telling me, and I was like, I made him tell me, okay? And yeah, he said it was like precancerous or something, and my doctor looked at me and did this. You waited 3 weeks to ask me? Is it cancer? He looks, he's like, no, it's not cancer. I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm like, I wanted to hug him, right? My doctor had some really good news at that point. Like, I wanted to hug him. I was so happy. Why? Because he brought me good news. When people bring you good news, you like them, right? Let's go ahead and write this down. When you evangelize people, that's tell them about Jesus, you are priceless because you bring the good news. Now, they don't always know you're bringing him good news. But if they come to Jesus, they will know that you're the one who brought them good news, won't they? They will know. That smell of popcorn, that is in action. Can you still smell it in the air?
Yeah.
That is in action. But you can be the good scent of beautiful feet. That verse says beautiful feet bringing good news. That was a reference to Isaiah 52. Look at this verse. This is way before Jesus. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. Now, this scripture was talking about 536 BC when Babylon was defeated and the Jews got free from slavery. What's important here is that during the war, a messenger had to come to bring the news about whether they were going to be slaves or free. And some theologians believe Israel always had two messengers. One, we're going to call that one Scott, always brought the good news. We're going to call the other one Bethany. That one always brought the bad news, right? And they would watch and they would look to see. And so I want you to imagine yourself. You're up in a tower. You're watching. You know there's a war going on. You know you're either going to be a slave or a free person after this war. And you're waiting to see, is it Scott or is it Bethany? Which one is it? And you see someone coming down the hill. And he's like, hey, someone's coming! You're looking, who is it? And you can't quite tell. You're like, I think it's Scott. No, there's a very stylish hat. It could be Bethany. Wait, and then as they get close, you see their feet, and you see it's Reeboks, and do you wear Reeboks? Whatever it is. You wear generic shoes? You see generic shoes, and you're like, it's Scott, guys, it's Scott. And everyone's like, yes, we're going to be free. You don't know the details, but you know he's bringing good news. Listen, you can be that type of person who when people see you come, and they're like, that person's bringing me good news. That person's bringing me word from God. And they don't even know it yet. They don't even know it. But you can be that person who has beautiful feet who brings them good news. So here's a practical application. Actually, let me answer a couple questions before we get in there. Someone says, some churches have incense. We have burnt popcorn. Someone says, inaction is also being lukewarm, correct? Yeah. Lukewarm is when you're not hot, you're not cold, you're just in the middle. And God doesn't like that. Someone says, how do you respond to those who have been burned by the church and they blame God? That's a very real question. If someone's been burned by the church, you got to start by building a relationship with them, right? Most people don't come to church because you threw a card at them as you were driving by, right? It's because they've gotten to know you and they've maybe even seen life change in you, your neighbor, your friends, your family. And maybe some of them have been burnt by the church, but you start with your relationship and you start maybe even explaining to them, look, there are churches that hurt people and there are human beings who screw people over. And they sometimes do it in the name of Jesus. And it's not okay and it's a sin and it's wrong. But I think I found a place that you might like. I mean, you just tell them, you just be honest, right? We condemn what's wrong and we accept what's good. And you do the same thing with them. You don't have to defend every church. You know, when you do stuff like this, the people who work in the nursery worry the church is on fire. Sorry. Someone online texted this one in. Do you think if we confess and believe Jesus is Lord, that you could be forgiven for everything you have done? Yes. Everything you have done, everything you are doing, and everything you will do. When Jesus went to that cross, he didn't leave some sins out. Every single thing was paid for. Every single one of them. Even that thought that you've had that you ain't told nobody you had because it was so bad you can't even believe you thought it, that's been paid for too. Everything. Here's how we tell people. Romans 6:23. And this is on your outlines, okay? I want to get real practical here. So how to share the gospel. Romans 6:23. This is a verse, you can look it up in your Bible. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you can invite him to church. If you have more time and you want to talk to him about Jesus, this is what you do. You turn there and you just read it to him. And you say, okay, what's a wage? It's your pay, right? It's what you get paid. So your paycheck for sin, have you ever done anything wrong? Pretty much everybody will admit yes. Your paycheck for doing something wrong is death. And in the Bible, when it talks about death, it's talking about more than just dying your body. It's talking about eternal death, right? For the wages of sin, what you get because of what you've done is death. But the gift of God, and how much, if I give you a gift, how much does it cost you?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's free. The gift of God is eternal life. So instead of death, you can have eternal life. What do you have to do to get it? It's a gift. A gift costs you nothing. It is a gift from God to you. There's only one thing. If I give you a gift, but then I tell you the gift is in my garage, where do you have to go to get it? This gift of eternal life is in Christ Jesus. So if you want eternal life, you have to go to Christ Jesus to get it. Right? That's how you share the gospel. If you want to, you can talk about Jesus Christ, our Lord, and what that means, how you follow him, you believe in him. But this is a really simple way to remember how to tell someone the gospel if they've never heard it before. And the only way they're going to hear it is if you and I tell them. Because of the rest of the world, they think, I just got to be a good person. God's going to be okay with me. They got to hear this truth. Okay, I want to take a quick poll. Show of hands, who here knew someone at Revolution Church before you came to Revolution Church? Go ahead and raise your hand. Look at that. That's almost everybody. I want you to remember this. Those ads we do on Facebook, important. The ads we do on the radio, important. But all these people who were baptized last year, all these people who had their lives changed here, knew someone at Revolution Church. They were either invited by someone, or when they walked in that door on Easter or Christmas, someone shook their hand and said, I am glad you're here. Real people are the ones who bring the good news to other people. You agree with that? I'm going to say it again. Real people, you and me, are the ones who bring good news to other people. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Then we need to live like that. Like we're the ones who have good news that we can bring to people. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to get out of here, remembering that inaction is an infraction. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll help us to have eyes that are open to see people who need you, to be able to share the gospel or at least invite them to church. And I pray that you will give us boldness and gentleness at the same time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go be beautiful feet. Inaction is an infraction.